go back to the beginning, the story of Cain and Abel. So, it's kind of fun. The Lord talks to me just kind of like, he communicates with me the way my personality is. So I really appreciate that. He's really short, sweet, and to the point. So that's just the way I am. So anyway, the story of Cain and Abel. And I'm like, Cain and Abel, why? Why Cain and Abel? Seriously? So anyway, I'm going to paraphrase these verses. Let's just go into verse 3. It says, it's talking about Cain. It's talking about him bringing the fruit of the ground as an offering. But it doesn't mention what kind of offering it was. So obviously there's going to be a difference between the way Cain came to the Lord with an offering and the way Abel came to the Lord with an offering. So in verse 4, it talks about Abel, that it says he brought his first of the flock and the fat. And I'm like, what's the fat? He was like, it was more than it was expected of him. He brought more. And God, it says, had respect, which is basically there was favor toward him. There was approval. There was an acceptance of what he had done to Abel and his offering. And I know that Alan is teaching. Is Alan here this morning? Okay. Well, anyway, Alan at 9 o'clock, he is teaching a class that's called acknowledging the Lord. Okay. And that's really kind of something I wanted to key off of. This is what Abel did. He acknowledged the Lord. And what it was is that, you know, that Cain and Abel were together most of the time. And as they're growing up, you know, they heard the same stories. You know that the Lord, if Cain was being talked to later on, I think in verse 6, they're both hearing the Lord. But the difference was their hearts. They heard the exact same thing, what they believed about God. Okay? In verse 5, it says that, you know, after he realized that Abel's offering was treated different than Cain's, it says that Cain got angry and that he was extremely displeased. And in verse 6, and this is kind of funny, it's like, what you mad about? Seriously? The Lord asked him, why are you mad and displeased? I mean, seriously? You know good and well what you did. I mean, you know there's a difference between you two. And that's kind of, it's like they heard the same thing. The same thing. And in verse 7, it says that God said, he just goes on and talks about, if you would have the same heart as Abel, you know, there would be any difference between you two. If you accepted me the way Abel accepted me and saw me, there would be no difference. I don't want there to be a difference. I want you to see me the way he sees me, and that I'm good. And I thought this was very interesting. At the end of verse 7, it says that it talks about sin. He's telling him that, but God said, if you do not offer whatever the offering was, it said that sin lays and waits for you, and it will rule over you. It says it desires you. Sin desires you, and you know the end of sin is that there's death in every area. There's death in some area. But that's what sin wants. It wants to take from you. Christ has given everything to you. So anyway, I just want to kind of key off this with the acknowledging of God. Well, we know the end of the story. Cain kills Abel. But in the acknowledging of God, sin has no rule over you. When you were born again, sin became dead to you. It did not have the right over you anymore. And there are still choices that we have to make. Okay, so it has no power to rule over you. You are the one to give it no place in your life. You are the one to have control over it. So be encouraged. And if you can come to that at 9 o'clock class, I know he's doing a fabulous job in acknowledging him in every area. Just acknowledge him. He is so good.
We're going to have a lot of fun with this series over the next 6 weeks or so. And we're really going to get into it based on what the Word of God says. So let's start at the very beginning, because you've got to, first of all, you've got to know what the heart of God is. We've got to see the heart of God concerning our lives, because sometimes people don't really understand how much God wants to be involved and how much God really does want to bless their lives. And the question might be asked, well, if God wants to, then why aren't we just automatically blessed? Because the truth of the matter is that it requires, there's a history behind it, but it actually requires faith to be able to experience and get God involved in your life, to experience Him to the fullness. And so I just came off of a series, Faith Foundations. What does faith look like? How does a life of faith, what does that really look like? This is the reason why we call this church Life of Faith. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, those that are saved, they will live by faith. In other words, everything that you're going to experience, if you're going to receive from God, has to come through faith. It absolutely does. And so I encourage you that if you need to find out what that foundation is and how faith operates, listen to that series that we just finished up last week, okay? So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let's start here, because we're going to start out, first of all, seeing the heart of God. And then what we're going to do is transition to now how God wants to help change our heart. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God has just created everything. God has just created the universe. God has just created the heavens and the earth, and He's created the plants, and He's created everything. As a matter of fact, what I love about this is that God got everything perfect and put everything just right, made sure that nothing was incomplete before He ever created us. He wanted it to be just perfect. Just perfect. And so, because of His love for us and because of that creative part for us, He said, let's get it all just right before we ever create man. As He, day after day, as He created light, it says that He saw the light and it was good. As He created the earth, He saw it and it was good. As He created the trees and the fruit that has seed in it, He saw it and it was good. And it was good, it was good, it was good. And then when He created us, He saw it and it was very good. You know what I love about that? That means you put the very in good. Like, without us, this was just good. But now that we're here, it's very good. Amen. So here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said this. He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them, He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we see right off the bat that God created us in His image. That's very important, that we are His offspring, that He wanted us to be His children, that has His DNA, and that lived like He lives, okay? Let's not dumb it down. Let's not lower, you know, what God's original intent was. Let's really just read what the Word says. And then He wanted us to have dominion over this creation. Amen. Can I tell you that the fight in life is about who's going to have dominion? Who's going to rule and reign? What we see happening in our nation, what we see happening around the world with the turmoil and with the uncertainty and with the people almost rioting and with the instability that we see and the anger and all of that, it really isn't about left versus right. It isn't really about black versus white. It really isn't about Democrat versus Republican. It is really about all of these things. It really, what it boils down to, it's about dark versus light. There is a battle on for humanity, for people. It's not about nations. It's about people. It's about their lives. It's about who's going to reign. Who's going to have dominion. God originally intended for us to have dominion. Look at the next verse, in verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created them. He created them male and female. And then look at the next one, and this is where I love this. It says, then God, what's the next two words? Blessed them. The very first act that God did when he created his ultimate creation, his offspring, was that he blessed them. He didn't want them to have to struggle. He didn't want them to have to live in this difficult work their whole life, try to get to a place that they finally get their nose and their head above water and just have to go through. No, he actually blessed them right off the bat. We will look over the next few weeks about what the blessing of the Lord is. The blessing, when God blesses what you're doing, when God's blessing is on your life, what happens is there is an amazing fruitfulness that happens in every area. Everything that you do, it just works. There's an ease to what you do. This is what God wanted us to experience, is his blessing and him working with us in our life. And we'll talk about these things. But right here, he blessed them. And God said to them, look at this, be fruitful and multiply. So he wanted us to live fruitfully. He wanted us to multiply. There's no curse. There's no darkness in any of the things that God had originally intended for us. And he said, so fill the earth. Fill the earth. Subdue it. In other words, he's now talking about dominion. And he says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so right off the bat, number one, we see that God blessed his creation. God blessed his children. And that's always been his heart. Now, without taking a whole lot of time to get into this, we know the story that Adam and Eve, the first people created, they sinned. They made a different choice. They chose to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And what happened in that moment is, up to that point, they only knew good. They only experienced everything that God was. But by doing that, let's turn over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, so that you see this. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, as I set up an introduction today. As they did this, what happened is they actually, through making this choice to go their own way, and to disobey God, they actually allowed sin to come into the world. They allowed death to come into the world. And they allowed Satan to now have dominion over men. They now allowed Satan to come in. And darkness became the thing that actually dominated and controlled humanity. So here it says, therefore, just as one man sinned, through one man sin entered the world. So here it is talking about Adam and death through sin. And so then it says that therefore death has spread to all men because all have sinned. We were all born into slavery. We were all born into darkness. So can you think about the heart of God for just a moment? Here he is, that he has given man dominion. He has given man rule. He has given man the opportunity to be blessed and to live. And then what happened is man turned right around and began to serve sin. Sin came in, and because of what man did, sin and darkness came in and ruled God's creation. Now, somebody might ask the question, well, why didn't God just get rid of it? Why didn't God just say, you know what, this didn't work out too good, so let's start over, or let's do something different? Well, the reason is, and this is something that you have to establish in your life, is that God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. When God speaks the word, that word is always the same. It never changes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 through 3 talks about how Jesus is the actual image of the Father, but then it also says that he upholds everything by the word of his power. scientists are trying to find the God particle. Scientists said that molecules isn't as far as you can go. Atoms isn't as far as you can go. That still doesn't explain how the universe is held together. As a matter of fact, so they went further and they found electrons and protons and neutrons, but that still didn't explain it. So they're trying to go deeper. There's got to be other particles, something that's holding this universe together. If they found a microscope that could go deep enough and that could discover what it was, they would find the Word of God. It's the thing that created everything that we see. It's more powerful than anything that we can see. But it's also constant. It's also consistent. If God's Word wasn't constant and consistent, then this universe wouldn't be held together. So God's the one that gave man authority, but then he didn't just say, you know what, that didn't work out, I'm just going to take it right back. Now, all of a sudden, because his word is out there, now he's got to work through man's authority to be able to help redeem man and rescue man from darkness. Oh, this gets so exciting. Now we begin to see a little bit about what the gospel's about. This is the reason why God came in the form of a man, Jesus, so that man could actually regain authority and dominion that was lost. Jesus, with the exception of once or twice, never referred to himself as the Son of God. He always referred to himself as the Son of Man, because he didn't come to be God and to demonstrate that he was God. He came to defeat darkness and to defeat the devil. Look at 1 John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 8. I'm trying to give you a broad Bible lesson for a moment to set this up so that you understand the heart of God. God's heart was that he always wanted us to be blessed and to be in dominion and to have dominion from the very beginning. All right? So here, get to on your own.